Welcome to The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
You are the best. You guys keep us sane every day.
I thank the good Lord above for your program, and you people really speak the truth to my heart.
The Morning Answer is on.
Well, how about that? Grant Stinchfield here. It is Friday, everybody. Time to get on up and head on into the weekend. We got one day left. No big deal. We can handle that. A lot to get to in a very big show today. Jen has the day off. She's been off all week, but she will be back on Monday. 855-785-8255, of course, is the number to weigh in on the program. I want to get right to it. And this idea that the federal government, controlled by Democrats, are going to pass this corporate minimum tax as part of reconciliation to make sure that billion-dollar corporations pay a minimum tax of 15%. Now, it's a complicated tax policy. And tax policy never makes for a great subject to talk about on the radio. But what does make for a great subject to talk about on the radio and something that needs to be exposed, I don't care where, high and far, deep and wide, radio, TV, you name it, is that we now have globalists controlling the United States. This idea of the corporate minimum tax is not an American idea. It's an agreement that 136 nations had come together and agreed on, working with the Organization for Economic Cooperation. This is an American policy. These are the globalists working on a global level to come up with laws enacted in the United States. What happened to American sovereignty? We have Democrats now beholden to the banking globalists like Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum and the rest of these billionaires trying to tell us what to do. Now, I can tell you why the policy is bad news and why it will be bad for Americans. But what scares me even more is that we are now going to go down this road of having people from another country tell us how to run American business. That alone is frightening. And yes, when I tell you it is part of the Great Reset, that is exactly what it is about. So this deal says any company with book profits over $1 billion. Now, that's an important number because book profits are very different from tax profits. And there's a reason for that. Book profits are designed to give shareholders of the company a good look into how the company is doing. Tax profits are another thing. Tax profits take advantage of the tax incentives handed down by certain governments, including the United States. And so tax profits are different from book profits. So they want to take anyone with $1 billion in book profits and they want to, quote, relocate taxes. Okay? They are using what they call a global consensus, a global architecture. Now, talk about the loss of American sovereignty. Since when does the United States take place in a global consensus when it comes to tax policy for American businesses? Go screw off the rest of the world. Yet that's not how Nancy Pelosi thinks. It's not how Chuck Schumer thinks. It's not how Joe Biden thinks. Because these are Democrats that are doing work on behalf of the globalists. And later in the program, I'll get into just what is the biggest threat facing America today. Globalists are certainly one of them. And when we have a Democrat party and the leadership inside that party doing the bidding of foreign globalists, you know America is in its demise. Now, what this says is if you pay taxes in another country, you can't deduct those taxes anymore here in the United States. Now, that is certainly an expense for a business paying taxes someplace else. You ought to be able to deduct those taxes. But what it doesn't look at is though many of these companies do business in countries where either there are no taxes or taxes are very low. And now the United States wants to recapture that foreign income here in the United States. Sounds all well and good. It's designed to, as the Democrats say, close loopholes. Oh, and I love when I hear lawmakers talk about loopholes. Who created the loopholes? The lawmakers did. Why are there loopholes? Well, there are loopholes that really shouldn't be called loopholes. The loopholes are actually just laws. They're not illegal. They're not skirting the bounds of anything. Their loopholes, that they call them, are actually incentives that were built into the law to spur investment and innovation. Why would you want to close those? Well, I know loophole sounds really bad. It sounds like companies are taking advantage of the tax structure. They're not taking advantage of anything. They're literally using the tax code as written. Now, anytime you close a loophole, you're actually changing the law. And anytime you change the law and shut down an ability for a company to save money on its taxes, you've in essence raised their taxes. You haven't shut down loopholes, you've raised their taxes. What happens when you raise taxes? Investment goes down. The ability to hire employees goes down. This is everything that they're going to do here. Now, when we face inflation, when we face a recession, you're going to raise taxes on America's biggest companies? So Elizabeth Warren released a report, the 55 companies that paid no taxes, and how dare they? Archer Daniels Midland, the food company, was on the list. FedEx was on the list. Nike was on the list. Salesforce, Dish Networks was on the list. You know, there were a lot of companies that were not on the list. Though Walmart wasn't on the list. Target wasn't on the list. A lot of big companies out there. I didn't see IBM on the list. I didn't see Microsoft on the list. Plenty of large companies that are still paying taxes, but they've spelled out these 55 companies that weren't paying taxes. Well, one of the policy institutes in Washington went and did a little research on this. The 50 companies that she listed, 55 companies, they employ 16.4 million workers. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? To me, that's a good thing. They spent $120 billion in research and development. What does that money go to? It goes towards hiring people in other companies. Research and development costs money. It spurs an economy. That $120 billion in research and development expands innovation that leads to more investment in an economy. And what are you going to do? Stifle that while you're bowing down to the international globalists? Please. And Joe Manchin says yes to this. The Democrat senator from West Virginia was supposed to be our savior. Wake up, man. We are handing American sovereignty off to an international body, and we're doing it with a smile as we're going to stick it to American companies. Those 55 companies that Elizabeth Warren pointed out paid $97 billion in capital investment. You know what a capital investment is? It's buying a piece of machinery. Somebody's got to make that machinery. Somebody's got to move that machinery. Somebody's got to install that machinery. Even all the way down to my little auto care business, if I buy another lift to put in one of the bays of my auto care shop, which I sold, but when I did, somebody's got to build that auto lift. Somebody's got to install it. Ultimately, a capital investment into my building, I'm going to have to hire somebody else to run it because I'm already operating in full capacity. I'm literally spurring the economy on. But they don't think like that. And let me leave you with this. I understand that it's really easy to go after the so-called rich who aren't paying their fair share or the big billion-dollar companies, but why is it fair to just go after billion-dollar companies? Why wouldn't you go after all companies? What if a small company in your mind wasn't paying enough taxes? Why wouldn't you go after them? That's not fair. But it's not about fairness. The bottom line is I don't want you going after any companies. And if somebody's skirting the law illegally, well, then the IRS will capture them because I promise you the IRS is looking at the biggest companies in America. Boy, we're doing things backwards in America. I'm here to expose it. You out there are there to take the word to the streets for me, and ultimately, we get this nation back. 855-785-8255, 855-785-8255. That's the number to weigh in on this conversation. Coming up next, mask mandates in L.A. We got more cities now on the list that say we're not going to enforce your tyrannical mask mandates. I'll list off some of those when we come back.
Freedom of speech.
lives here. It's the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Well, hi there, folks. Grant Stinchfield here, 855-785-8255, 855-785-8255. That is the number to our Morning Answer phone lines. Jennifer Horn has the day off today, as she has the whole week. And I, of course, am Grant Stinchfield. I guess what we could call this is breaking news.
The Answer. Breaking news.
So the breaking news is there will be no mask mandate in L.A. County. Today was the day they would decide whether or not that would go through or not. Hospitalizations are down. Don't think this has anything to do with hospitalizations. Don't think it has anything to do with the China virus. Don't think it has anything to do with Barbara Ferrar, the director of the health department in L.A. County, wising up. What it has to do with is free markets working in Southern California. How could that be? Free markets in Southern California, those don't work. No, you see, Barbara Ferrer got pressure from her fellow liberal cities. Now, Beverly Hills isn't all that liberal, but it is still somewhat liberal. They've done some dopey things in Beverly Hills. It seems to me still to be a little bit of a safe haven in Southern California, especially in the L.A. area. Beverly Hills came out early on and said, we're not going to enforce the mask mandate. Well, yesterday, I believe it was, in the L.A. Times and some of the local TV stations started recording that Pasadena said it would not enforce the mask mandate if handed down. Long Beach would not enforce the mask mandate if handed down. And El Segundo would not enforce the mask mandate if handed down. So when you look at that, you know what Barbara Ferrar said? Oh, man. I don't want to go head-to-head with these city leaders, me wanting to do one thing, them wanting to do another. So, that's the situation we're in. She literally got the pressure, and that's how it works, folks. And I would honestly give a lot of credit to all of you out there for basically telling retailers, telling your local leaders, we're not going to comply with this nonsense. We're not going to comply with it. You know, this goes all the way to Washington. We don't want to comply anymore with their tyrannical oversight, with their handing off of our sovereignty, as we've been talking about this morning, to globalists in some other country. That's what our new tax plan is about that's going to be pushed through in reconciliation, that Joe Manchin, the turncoat Democrat, who said he was going to stand for freedom, turns out he's turning his back on all of us, cuts a deal with Chuck Schumer, is going to vote for this thing. 15%. Minimum corporate tax rate on companies with a, quote, $1 billion in book profits. But all of it is funny money. All of it amounts to an increase in taxes on companies that do not need it. The biggest companies in America that are employing the most amount of people, that are reinvesting back into our communities, no matter what you say about them. I know that the CEOs make millions of dollars. Who cares? Why do you care what somebody else makes? That's what really angers me. I don't care what they make. God bless them. As long as they make a decent product. Now, I can get mad at Nike for going woke. I can get mad at Disney for going woke. I can get mad at those companies, but I don't need to buy their products. But I don't care what shareholders decide to pay their CEOs. And by the way, when you pay them a salary, okay, they have to pay taxes on that. They get a paycheck just like all of us. Now, some of their compensation does come in the form of other ways that they don't have to pay payroll taxes on it. But you better believe the CEO collects a paycheck and doesn't pay less taxes than his secretary, as they want you to believe. All right, Linda has called into the Morning Answer. Linda, what say you this morning?
Oh, Grant, I just want to say that you've been doing great all this week, all by yourself.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine I can get through 3 hours of radio by myself? I bet you didn't think I could do it, did you?
Oh, I thought you could.
I'm teasing.
I wish it would go on like that.
Well, we love Jen. I cannot wait to have her back, and I appreciate the compliment, Linda. Thank you so very, very much. It's nice to hear you're at least happy with the program while she is away. You know, it's a different radio program when you do it by yourself than it is when we do it with Jen. In many respects, I have more fun doing it with Jen because we can bounce off each other. Heck, I've admitted to this. It's a lot more work when I do it without Jen because you're carrying the show by yourself. And the truth is, she does a lot of work to prep for this show. And, of course, I'm prepping for the show, but she's leading the charge on it. And God bless her. She makes my life very easy. All right, Mike in Ventura, what do you say early this morning?
Grant, we're having a hard time finding construction workers to do our job with us. The owner of one of the projects, a residential project, instructed me to go down to Home Depot and hire some guys from the Home Depot parking lot. I didn't want to. I'm a former Marine. It's kind of against my grain. But he's the owner of the property, insisted I do it. And do you know what those guys are getting per week, Grant?
Tell me.
$1,000 cash per week and a free lunch 5 days a week.
How long are they working for you on the job? How long are they on the job site?
They're going to be there about 4 months.
All right, and they work 10-hour days, 8-hour days?
8-hour days. Oh, no, 8-hour days, 7 to 3:30. They don't want to work over. One guy quit yesterday because he didn't want to drive 20 miles each way to the job at $1,000 a week and lunch and said, I don't need the money. I got money from the government paying me, so I'm going to quit.
All right, let me ask you this question, Mike, because now it's on you, not the owner, unless the owner's giving you cash to pay them. How are you getting money to pay them? I mean,
the owner pays them directly every week.
All right, the owner pays them. So there's your answer right there. Because I always wondered this, you know, as an owner of a business, trucking company, there was no way I could do it. You had to have a CDL, you know, drive these big 18-wheelers and working for FedEx. You're going through all kinds of baggage. There's just no way to do it. But in my auto care business, I guess you could have hired illegals, but there's no way with everybody paying credit cards to get cash out of my business to go paying illegals with cash. You'd have to take it out as income, you know, if you're doing it right and want to play things above board, which I always do. So I don't know how many of these companies do it, but you just explained it. The owner's paying him himself, so it would be on his hook too. The problem is,
right,
the more people that do this, Mike, and I know you got to get your house done, and I know that you know you're almost left with no choice because of Democrat policies. But the more
correct
people that do this, incentivizes it. We're never going to fix the problem if there's always a market for it.
And Grant, when I went to another group, one group showed up and said, no, I don't want to do this. We're doing block walls. I don't want to do it. So they left. Then I found these three guys. But the thing is, if you try and go to another group and over another area and another area and another area to try and get your price down, they're like a union. They all stick together.
Yeah, I bet they do. You know, it's interesting. When I was in Texas, the city of Plano and the city of Dallas, two very big cities in the Dallas area, actually formed their own labor camps where you could go hire an illegal alien that the city was actually running. This is in Texas. The city's running these centers, and they were doing it to ensure that the illegals would get paid. They were somehow trying to protect the illegals, but meanwhile, you know, I'm working for mainstream television. They never thought a reporter in mainstream television would do a story about the city incentivizing illegal immigration, but that's what you get when I was a reporter. I don't know if they have those here in California. Do they? They have city-run labor centers?
They do. You'll go to, for example, there's a Home Depot in Van Nuys that has actually a trailer set up, a pop-up to keep them in the shade. They provide water and snacks. You pull up, you tell how many people you want, they sign them out to you, and away you go. The problem I have, Grant, is these guys are making, I'm the boss, I've worked 40 years in construction to get here, and they're making a little less than I make. Now, that's not including their government assistance, because they admit that they get government assistance.
All right, well, in California, as a construction owner, I'm sure you're making more than $1,000 a week if you're doing it right. You better be, Mike.
I am, but not much more. I'm a superintendent, not much more.
I hear you, buddy.
But the problem
God bless
is,
you. Hey, I appreciate you calling in.
We're
up on a break, and you're right. That's the key. As long as we keep doing it, they will keep sending illegals here. There is incentivization for illegals to come here because you heard it right there. Get $1,000 a week cash money, okay? Think about that. That's not $52,000 a year. That's the equivalent of $75,000 a year. That's cash money. Man, oh, man. 855-785-8255. That's the number to weigh in. Coming up next, Joe Biden's going to make another huge mistake, this time with Russia again. again with Russia. And another mistake. I'll explain what it is when we come back.
Call us anytime with your amazing takes. 877-590-5843.
Guess what? A couple of weeks ago, I had COVID. Only sore throat for 3 days. Got out and walked every day. Did B12 shots. I was fine, but I don't know about Biden. We are, unfortunately, we are the same age. But I think I'm in better condition than Biden.
This is the Morning Answer.
Let me tell you something. You're way in better shape than Joe Biden. And I don't think vitamin B shots are going to do it for Joe Biden. He needs a lot more than that. I'm Grant Stinchfield. Jennifer Horn has the week off. She's back on Monday. Hey, a little update. You know that TikTok story I told you about yesterday where they're literally, you download the app tracking your keystrokes. Keystrokes, folks. So think about it. You type in chase.com. Next comes your username, your password. You type in the website to your corporate email. Next comes the username, the password. They're into everything. They got access to your microphone. They got access to your geolocation. So anyway, I told you, and it's all spelled out, by the way, in their privacy policies, thanks to Joe Rogan, who was the first one who kind of tipped me off to that. And, of course, President Trump before that. The problem with President Trump and the others who warned about it, like my buddy Peter Navarro, is they'd say they're taking your personal information. Well, unless you spell out personal information, we've heard they're stealing our personal information over and over again. It doesn't put it into perspective until you realize personal information means they're literally tracking our keystrokes. Well, I did an Instagram reel on the TikTok problem with their policies and their privacy policies. Minute long are these reels. So I posted there at True Social and all this stuff. And I told you I was going to keep TikTok. Well, I didn't tell you this, but here's thanks to Richard, one of our IT engineers, radio everything guru at the station here. He says use an old iPad, tablet, download TikTok there, do your videos on that, upload there, turn it off when you're not using it, let it sit in one location. You know, don't search anything on it. You're safe. So that's actually what I did, because I'm a believer that I want my voice to be heard in as many places as possible, including TikTok, where there's a lot of young people. And you know what? Maybe it won't hurt for the Chinese espionage people who are listening in to hear my videos, too. Like they're watching. Here was my amazement. Now, I only have 7,000 followers on TikTok. But I posted the video exposing the ills of TikTok, the privacy concerns, the espionage app that it is. I literally called it an espionage app. That video on TikTok now stands at 102,000 views. 102,500 to be exact. That's pretty amazing when you think about TikTok didn't censor what I was saying, but how can they? Can you imagine the backlash they'd get from me if they censored me quoting their own privacy policy? A lot of the comments are like, where do you get this information? It's not true. It's not this. It's not that. Oh, yes, it is. It's straight off their privacy policies. So 102,000 on TikTok. I was surprised, though, that it didn't get a ton of views on Instagram. Let me just do a quick check before I get into the next thing. It, you know, and Instagram, I do pretty well. All right. So as of a day, it's got about 29,000 views on Instagram, which, you know, I can easily push 80, 90,000 views if the video really hits with my 40,000 little less followers on Instagram. So, but it's clearly took off on TikTok. So that's why I'm on TikTok. This is the point of the whole story. I just informed TikTok users they're being spied on. 100,000 people just learned they were being spied on thanks to me, and they learned it on the app that they're being spied on with. And then you ask me, should I come off TikTok? Why would I? But I've got to find ways to circumvent their system. Thanks to Richard, that's what we're doing. 855-785-8255. 855-785-8255 is number two. The studio, we are about to engage in a prisoner swap with Russia, by the way. Have you heard about Brittany Griner? I'm not a fan of this woman. She's a WNBA player. She hates America. She was one of the chief anthem kneelers. She doesn't respect our flag. She doesn't respect our military. She doesn't respect law and order. She goes to Russia where she knows marijuana is illegal. She's got it in her luggage. She gets busted with it, and she gets arrested. Now she comes crying back to the United States that we got to help bail her out. I get the harsh is going to be the punishment's going to be pretty harsh in Russia. Why are we bailing out an anti-American loon who's making probably millions in Russia off her American status, by the way, as a WNBA player? Well, Paul Whelan is a guy that we need to help get out of Russia. He's a United States Marine, retired, who's accused of engaging in espionage in Russia. He's denied it. The United States has denied it. I have no reason not to believe him. And even if he was engaging in espionage, the United States better do everything they can to get that man out of there. But Russia doesn't want to budge on that. So what does Joe Biden do? Joe Biden comes up with the idea to offer up Victor Bout.
Victor Bout. Do you know who this man is?
They call him the Merchant of Death. The Merchant of Death, that can't be a good guy, right? Like, a lot of nicknames out there. The Merchant of Death is never a good one to have. Unless you want to be a Merchant of Death, which probably this guy did. He worked in Russian intelligence for a long time. He was one of the most prolific arms dealers there is. He got set up in a sting with a drug enforcement agency in Bangkok, Thailand. The DEA was posing as Colombian revolutionaries, okay? And Victor Bout was going to sell the DEA undercover agents $20 million worth of anti-aircraft missiles, machine guns, 10 million rounds, sniper rifles, you name it. All to upend the good work Colombia has been doing to rid Colombia of the drug cartels. I don't know if you've ever been to Medellin lately. You know, this was like the hub of all of the drug trade. It's a vibrant city now. I mean, Medellin is a beautiful cultural city. Safe, too. Colombia cleaned it up. This guy, Victor Bout, wanted to ruin it all by selling them $20 million worth of weapons to revolutionaries who wanted to send it back into the hands of the drug lords. So this is who Joe Biden offers up. He was convicted to 25 years in prison for conspiring to kill Americans, the Merchant of Death. Now, why would we trade him for Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan? First off, the better question is, why would Vladimir Putin make the trade? If I'm Vladimir Putin, and Vladimir Putin's a pretty smart guy, I say, no trade. No trade for you. And the reason I say no trade for you is because it makes Joe Biden look bad. Joe Biden's on the ropes right now. His approval numbers are waning. Dopey Americans want Brittany Griner back at all costs. That's making him look bad. Smart Americans like me and you, we want Paul Whelan back. Vladimir Putin's got to see that and say, you know what? Let Victor Bout rot. Putin doesn't care about his people. He ultimately cares about power and how far that power will get him. So he'll let Victor Bout rot in prison. He's probably his buddy, just to make Joe Biden look bad. It's naive to think Putin's going to deal on this. Now, Bout does have some value to Putin. He's a close Putin ally. He knows a lot of what's going on in Russia. Maybe he would like to have him back. But I think ultimately making Joe Biden look bad would be right on top of his list for Vladimir Putin. All right, 855-785-8255. That is the number to the studio. Coming up next, you remember the January 6th documentary we told you about that the Epoch Times had put together last week? This really was a blockbuster of an expose of what really went on in there, showing the witch hunt that this really is. Well, the man behind that from the Epoch Times is going to join us next with an update of what has happened since that documentary aired. Okay? That when we come back.
Canceling the cancel culture. This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
That was a shooting gallery up there. She suffered a fairly severe beating, and the video is pretty graphic.
There's no words to express the way that I feel right now, we're labeled as terrorists. We're labeled as racists. Justice for us, it seems almost impossible.
Well, folks, that, of course, is a documentary by the Epoch Times about the January 6th, disaster. That's what it turned out to be. The protest turned unorganized tour is what I call it, now turned witch hunt and total persecution of conservatives, was an eye-opening assessment of what went on that day. We talked with Joe Hanneman, one of the investigators who helped put together that documentary for the Epoch Times last week when it first came out. And there was so much in it that I thought lawmakers needed to see, the public needed to see, that needed to be exposed to these Democrat lawmakers who are persecuting good Americans. And I wanted to bring Joe Hanneman back on to get an update on what has happened after this documentary aired, if anything, because, you know, the mainstream media will typically ignore it. So with that, Joe Hanneman of the Epoch Times, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So what has happened, if anything, after the documentary? Has anything been spurred?
Well, I think we've had a real good reception. The viewership on it is inching up towards 500,000. I know we'd like to see that double and get this in front of more people. But we have gotten a tremendous amount of feedback from readers and members of the public who, as we suspected, had no idea that a lot of these things went on that day because they just simply haven't been exposed to the information. You're not going to see these types of issues explored very often in legacy media. So, it really backed up our reasoning for doing this in the first place, is that this stuff is not getting a wide enough audience, and people don't realize that a lot of the bad things that went on that day were coming from the side of the police and the government. And, that's to get a sense of the full picture, you've got to look at that.
I know you're not going to get calls from Democrat lawmakers, but did you guys get any calls from Republican lawmakers who says, hey, I need more information on this or that? Because you exposed a lot, even things that I hadn't heard, and I'd been very deep into the investigations into January 6th. Any calls from people in positions of power that could do something about this, you know, if and when Republicans take back over?
None that I'm aware of. Nothing has come my way. I don't know. The editors would have shared that if they had gotten any sort of contact. So, as far as I know, we have not gotten any direct feedback. I've been trying to monitor social media too to see reception. So, at this point, we have not seen anything coming from lawmakers.
Joe, to me, that is actually the breaking news of this story. Because what you expose there, if I was a United States congressman and I ran for Congress, I lost in a Republican primary against an incumbent. But if I was a sitting United States congressman and after I watched this documentary, I would be on the phone to you and I would be saying, Joe, I need information on this guy. I need information on the video you had here where the cops are literally beating up a woman. And we're told that it was the insurrectionists, as they call them, that were beating up the cops. The fact that we have nobody on our side in Washington really making an overt play to expose what the Democrats are doing is certainly troubling to me, Joe.
Well, this whole topic of January 6th has really been kind of the third rail in politics that even on the Republican side, most legislators are afraid to touch it. Now, there have been some that have been very involved throughout the spring and the summer. People like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Louie Gohmert, a handful of others that have spoken up, especially on behalf of the guys who are being held in pretrial detention in Washington, D.C. But it's a small group, and I know the families of the defendants are troubled by that. They're hurt by that. They really think that there should be a wider embrace of this issue, because if these things can be done to someone who may be conservative or supported President Trump it can be done to anybody.
Absolutely.
So these things should be troubling. This shouldn't be a partisan issue. Everyone should be troubled by these things.
All right, let me play another clip from the documentary on the Epoch Times.
The crowd was desperate. It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
If they can lie about me, I know for a fact that they can lie about everybody else that was there that day.
The biggest fraud perpetrated on the American people, it's all by design. They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day? It's the same interests who brought us Russiagate and everything since then.
That it is. Joe Hanneman, one of the main investigators that helped put this documentary together, is on with us here. Joe, what was one of the most surprising things that you learned through your investigations into January 6th?
Well, I mean, there were really many things, but the extensive use of and overuse of force is really quite shocking when you look at it. We tried to find and collect as many instances of, especially when munitions were started to be used on the west side of the Capitol, around 1:30 in the afternoon. At that point, people were at the police line where they put up the bike racks, but there was a lot of talking back and forth. A lot of it was respectful. There were a few people that were mouthing off, and I certainly saw plenty of folks step up and say, "Hey, we don't do that. Don't start causing trouble. Don't tug on the barricades." So there was no widespread trouble going on. It was fairly peaceful. And then these out of the sky come these flashbangs and dispersion grenades. Rubber bullets and scat shells and all sorts of things that they were literally shocked that this was being launched onto a peaceful crowd. And the reaction was pretty quick. I mean, the anger spread through the crowd, and the munitions really picked up. And this went on for well over an hour. And there were injuries, burns. Interviewed a fellow yesterday who got shot directly in the leg by one of these scat shells, and it splintered his femur. He ended up laid up for 6 months and had $250,000 in the cost of medical bills. So Joe, these things had a real cost.
Can you imagine if there was a Capitol Police officer who had a femur shattered? We would be hearing about him to this day. Every day he'd be on the front page of some paper or plastered all over MSNBC or CNN. I've never heard about this person who had a femur broken because of police. This is the dereliction of the mainstream media. It's lies by omission. The Epoch Times is doing a great job. It's one of my go-to organizations that I literally start in the morning, and it's one of the websites that I go to, theepochtimes.com. Joe Hanneman, I appreciate the work you've done on this. And it's just disappointing. No more lawmakers are stepping up to take some of that work and rescue good conservatives. But we appreciate the fight that you're putting up, and thank you for coming on the program tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. That is Joe Hanneman, and Lord knows why I said tonight, but it's early in the morning in L.A. But anyway, you know what I mean. 855-785-8255, 855-785-8255. 8255 is the number to weigh in on all of this. Coming up next, it gets into the January 6th hoax and the threats that we face as a nation from within. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'd like you to weigh in on this, okay? What are the greatest threats we face as a nation? What's the greatest threat we face as a nation? I made a list here. Okay, and I would like to hear your thoughts on that as well. 855-785-8255, 855-785-8255. What is the greatest threat to America? My top one may surprise you. That when we come back.